That's a special Dr. Most.
Woke up after midnight, both my arms and legs were sore.
And thanks as always to our friends at Northwestern Medicine. Good morning, Doc. How are you?
Good morning, Steve. I'm doing great. How about yourself?
Well, survived the commute. That's that's a positive. It's crazy out there. We're going
to
jump.
People need to be careful too. It's not just in your cars. You know, the sidewalks are just as bad. So be really careful walking to work or once you get out of your car. We've had many people in the emergency room already with broken arms from falls.
Is that right?
So, yep.
Well, where you are, and I assume you're at the hospital this morning at Central DuPage Hospital, and that's one of the main iced up areas.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. So we want to talk about this, the fallout, I guess is the word for it, from this Dr. Nassar case and the big picture question of, parents trusting that I can send my kid into a doctor. Now, I don't want to extend this into some sort of belief that you ought to be afraid of your doctor or your nurse, because that's not the case. But there is that awkward period of time where you go, well, is it okay to send my kid back there? And what's going on? And how involved should I be? So that's the question for you, Doc, and I appreciate you taking the extra time today to jump on and talk to us about it.
Yeah, you know, like you said, it's that awkward age kind of thing often where, as a young boy, he doesn't want his mom in the exam room possibly for a physical, or even a young girl may not want her mom or father. So, you know, it's really important there that we honor the respect of the child, but then also make sure that they feel comfortable. And I always tell parents, you know, if a parent is not going to stay in the room for an exam, I explain to them what the exam is going to be, and I explain to them in front of the parent and the patient. And two things happen there. One, it allows the child then to decide, oh, you know what, I do want my parent in the room.
Mm-hmm.
Two, it allows the parent to ask any questions. And then the other, probably bigger one, it sets guardrails. It sets the guardrails of what I am going to do in my exam. And if I vary from those guardrails, now the child knows it and the parent knows it. So fortunately, that doesn't happen, you know, 99.999% of the time. As a matter of fact, if we find something in the exam and we have to change it, we'll often stop the exam at that time and bring the parent back in.
Yeah, and any doctor that doesn't go through that basic protocol, I would guess you would encourage the parents to go, well, why didn't you say this or that, or why aren't we doing it this way?
Yes, exactly. And, you know, parents, you know, it's often they're in the waiting room, and they call the child's name, and the child goes, you know, I always tell parents, at least for the initial portion of it, go back there with the child.
Mm-hmm.
You know, right. Depending on an age where they get very comfortable saying, hey, Mom, I'm fine. Believe me, I'm, you know, 17 years old, I'm fine. But go back there with that child those first few times, because the child is walking back into this uncertain position. Even though they feel like I want to do that without a parent there, I don't need a parent. Come on, leave me alone. That's still re-encouraging to the patient, and then also allows those questions to be asked and the foundation of what is going to happen be set in front of both individuals. It allows them also to then talk after the exam to say, you know, oh, did he find anything out? You know, what did you, you know, and at least there's that conversation now of continued health between the parent and the child.
When we come back, I want to get Mary in here for another traffic update, but when we come back, address that whole age question, because kids mature at different ages.
Yep.
And it's not like you can say, okay, the child's now 14. That's when it's okay for them to go back. So let's talk about that in a second.
Yep.
More with Dr. Kevin Most.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Dr. Kevin Most giving us some extra time today, and we appreciate it. What about that age question, Doc? I mean, is there any way to suggest an age? This is the age where it's okay for your kid to go back alone with a doc?
No, it's very difficult. You know, obviously, kids reach puberty at different ages, but it's all kind of in that same time frame. I think one thing it is how well is your interaction with your child and how comfortable your child feels. And to be honest with you, some people are very healthy and never go to the doctor at all, and others are ill and they're very comfortable going to the doctor. But one thing I would say, too, if that child is going back alone, it's our responsibility as a doctor to also come out and talk to the parent and to say, tell me what concerns you have. Are you concerned with any social activity that he has or lack of social activity? Do you see any signs of depression? Are you concerned about depression? Does he have friends that you are concerned about have drug abuse issues? Is there more peer pressure? We need to get all that because it allows us then to open up the question with that individual in a private setting. You know, is there a chance he's being bullied? You know, we want to know those things because often kids and adolescents will open up to doctors and tell them things that they wouldn't tell their parents. And it allows then us to not only coach them and highlight, and if it's something that we're very concerned about, obviously act on as well.
Well, that's the awkward position I guess you signed up for, right? Because if a kid opens up to you and says, here's what's going on, but don't tell my mom or my dad, you've got to make a decision on what's the best for the child, obviously, and unless it's a clear legal question.
Correct. And sometimes we'll set very good guidelines for them and say, you know, okay, we will be partners on this.
Yeah, we'll talk to them together.
If this or this occurs, we need to. And these are some things that, you know what, as much as I don't want to tell your parents, it's really important that the three of us sit down or the four of us sit down and talk about this and talk about how we're going to deal with it. Nothing that a physician wants to see or hear is to, you know, the concern that an individual has been bullied or that they have signs of depression. You know, unfortunately, suicide is still is number one cause of death in these kids. So it's something that we take very near and dear to our heart, that we are protecting that child, and they've given us that opportunity to protect them.
What do you say to parents who have reached a stage of a relationship with their teen son or daughter where it's sort of awkward for them and they don't feel comfortable going back into the examination room?
Yeah, and that happens a lot, to be honest with you. So having that conversation, at least taking a portion of that time to go out to the waiting room while the child is still in the exam room and just say, hey, just want to let you know, everything is fine. This is what I checked. Here's what my concerns are. Here's are some things that we're going to have to look for, and here's some things I want you to look for at home. You've still kept the child's confidence by not doing that right in front of the parent, but you've also have shared your concerns for someone who is, I'll say, an outside party, the parent being that outside party. So I think that holding information is sometimes important, but sharing information can save a life.
And in young adults too, Doc, I mean, it's always okay, you know, because I know you get to the age of maybe 12, 13, 14, 15, whatever, you think, I can do it myself. This is, you know, I'm an adult now. The mindset anyway. You can always bring somebody into the room with you or say, you know, I want my mom, dad, brother, sister, somebody in there with me, correct?
Absolutely. As a matter of fact, you may want your brother in there instead of your mother. So, I mean, you can always have any physician that says, no, I do not want someone else in the exam room with me, that's a red flag. That is a, we're done with this appointment, thank you very much, and we're going to find a new doctor.
Yeah, that would be a huge cautionary thing, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah, so at that point, the authorities get involved. All right, now, here's the other piece, and we'll let you go on this. Some of these things seem obvious, but clearly they're not. Let's say you're a teenage girl and you're going in for a first gynecological exam.
Yep.
And there's no female nurse available at this particular practice. Do you reschedule?
Yep.
Yeah.
We don't even allow it. If we don't have a female nurse with us, we wouldn't allow that to happen. We would actually send them. Unfortunately, we never are in that position because we always have a female nurse with us. But if for some reason something were to happen, absolutely not. No exam by a male or female physician can be done without a female escort in the room outside of potentially the parent.
Yeah, and I suppose it's the same for a teenage boy on the opposite end, right? If there's an examination of a sensitive nature of a boy, and there's only a female doctor or nurse around, and that makes them uncomfortable, they deserve the same sort of consideration.
Absolutely, 100%. And, you know, the female boy, that is important as well. Testicular cancer, you know, one of the cancers that we're very concerned about at that young age, and we have to explain that to the parent and to the child before the exam so that they know what the exam is going to be and that, you know, we have not violated anything. So, you know, it's identification, communication, and making sure that the patient feels comfortable and that the guardrails have been set by the doctor and everyone understands what those are.
Last piece of advice, I suppose. What do you want to say to parents as far as questions they should ask you before you leave the appointment?
Yeah, I think, you know, doctors should always finish with, what questions do you have? Or share with me your questions, not do you have any questions? So, you know, parents should always want to know, for the medical side of it, do we have any medical concerns? That's one part. The bigger part right now in adolescence, I have to be honest with you, is the social concerns. The concerns of societal peer pressure, whether it's bullying, whether it's drug abuse, whether it's signs of early depression, those are the ones that the parents need to be aware of and need to tell us anything that they might see and ask us, tell me what I should be looking for. Tell me what I need. If my child is isolating, if they don't want to go to the football game and they always have gone to the football games, why is that? If we offer them to do something that they normally really enjoy and they decline it, why is that? Those early signs of depression have to be identified by parents because we can't identify them in an exam room often.
And there is no dumb questions, mom and dad. There are no dumb questions. And the same goes for any kids that might be listening. So there's nothing to be ashamed of. And if a doctor or nurse don't know the answer, they'll tell you.
Absolutely. And if you get a response from a doctor and he says it at a resident level, in other words, a medical student level, say, no, wait, doc, you know what? Can you bring that down a little bit to me, to my level?
Mm-hmm.
Like talking to somebody about diabetes, we're not going to explain the cell metabolism diabetes, but we will explain to them why we need to keep your blood sugar under control so that we don't have damage to your kidneys and, you know, and your extremities and so forth. So make sure that it's responsible information back to you that you understand. So don't sit there and go, oh my gosh, I'm going to be ignorant if I say, well, I don't understand that. Could you tell? No, we want those questions to a point where you feel comfortable and you know what's going on with your health and the health of your child.
I hope that helps. As always, Doc, thank you for this.
You got it, man. We'll talk to you soon.
That's Dr. Kevin Most, Northwestern Medicine. And as he said, be careful out there, kids, especially you guys in the South and West where all the ice is. We don't want you to fall. That's the advice today. My advice for you, my advice for you today is don't fall.
Don't fall.
Yes.
And don't drive.